Welcome to Creator's Playbook, the podcast that inspires creativity for storytelling. My name is Steven.
And I'm Michael.
And today, we're talking about some cute little critters. Our theme today is animal companions.
Animal companions. Yeah. I totally didn't realize we were doing animal companions. I'm so excited.
I literally said in the message that today's episode was animal companions.
I know. You did. But through all of our audio troubles, I spaced it.
Michael and I have been fumbling for the last hour trying to figure out why Michael's new audio interface was not working the way that we anticipated. But that's okay because we got it. We're here and we got an episode for you. Good times. Yes. So animal companions. I figured, you know, we had a holiday that just barely came around the corner. And one of the things that's really popular with that holiday is cute little critters.
Bunnies.
You get like bunnies and you get like little chicks, all that kind of fun stuff.
A couple of years ago, we actually got chickens, little baby chicks around Easter time. Cute. And it was cute. We raised them. They were like, they fit in your hands. We had five of them. And oh, man.
One of your daughters name one of them Chicken Nuggets?
Yes. No, wait, maybe it was my wife's brother that did that. I can't remember who, but yes.
I thought you had a kid who would laugh and point at them and say, Chicken Nuggets.
I think you're right. I think they did. That was so funny.
Cute little critters. I love a good story that has a great animal character in it. I think Robbie's obsessed with every dog movie that's ever been produced. Robbie has to watch it.
Yep.
There's some of them where the dog just wreaks havoc, and I'm like, why do you put up with this? I mean, I have probably the quietest cat in the entire world until he's hungry, and then he will let you know that he's definitely there.
Really?
But he's so patient at it, too. Like, when Olaf is hungry, like, he'll meow once and wait at the door, and if you ignore him, he'll just, like, sit there staring at you. But if you move, he'll be like, oh, it's food time, and then he'll, like, run downstairs, and if you don't follow, he'll just, like, come right back up slowly, and he's like, hello,
I'm here. Please, like, please help me.
Let's go get some food.
I can't do this myself. You know, I think animals, I mean, and that's, I think, maybe where we get some of our enchanting stories from is animals are smart. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like,
they know what you need when you need it.
Yeah.
They're always there. Having a bad day, your pet just comes right up to you.
They know. They're like empathetic, especially dogs. Cats can be a bit mischievous, but dogs and, cats. You know, we had a cat growing up and
We had several cats,
but I was thinking of Mindy.
And, Mindy. Yeah.
And, you know, when I had a rough day at school, Mindy knew and would climb up onto my lap and would just kind of purr and cuddle up next to me. And I'd be able to pet its ears and belly. It was just very comforting. And like you could talk to the cat and it would meow back at you like it was trying to understand you or did actually. It was just nice. It was nice. Yeah.
Again, it's just that constant companion being there for you when you need it. There are such good videos out there of pets responding to their humans, their companions, in such wonderful ways that just gives you hope for the world.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen the TikTok that has a dog and you can actually get these dog tiles that say
words? Oh, yeah,
and
it presses the buttons.
And the dog, like, she can actually have conversations with her dog.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen the video.
Anyway.
And it's kind of funny because like she'll change the configuration every couple of times like to make it better for the dog so it can learn it better. And then there's one person who tried to do it with their cat and like lined up different tiles for the cat to press. And it seemed to be working. But it's one of those where you never really quite know like what the animal is thinking. They just know that you respond. I choose to believe that the animal definitely knows what each of those buttons means, and they press them because it gets the response that they want.
Right.
So I'm here for it. I actually think it's kind of brilliant until they're pressing the same button over and over and over again. Then I'm like, okay, let's turn those off for a little bit.
Indeed. But animals are cute.
I love them. They're my favorite part about everything. I have us a prompt here that will get us started into telling a story. But before we can get going, Michael, I need a couple of things from you. One of which is I need you to tell me a keepsake or a memento. And it can be anything. Just a keepsake or a memento?
I think a cool keepsake could be a coin made into a necklace.
Okay.
I was going to say a flash drive, but
it's a little bit different.
It is a keepsake. I mean, like, it keeps things.
Oh,
right.
Smart. Have you seen some of, like, the technology jewelry that's been coming out, like necklaces that are also like fitness trackers and stuff like that?
I've seen rings, like rings that are digital and they have lights and other things like that. I've not seen the necklaces. I'll have to check them out.
Next, I need a pet's name.
Bold. No, I'm just kidding.
Bold.
As opposed to italics.
Oh, we had a cat named italics.
Oh, I know.
I miss italics.
Let's see. Fido's too obvious. Whiskers.
Whiskers. And I'm going to assume that Whiskers is a cat. Is Whiskers a dog?
Who could be Whiskers? Either. I think cat.
Okay. I am ready to go.
Excellent. Bring it.
The morning light shimmered through the curtains of the window, brushing the sleep out of Kevin's eyes. He wrinkled his nose, stifling a gasp into a yawn. He slowly looked up at the ceiling of the small cottage room. He squeezed his eyes shut and rolled off to his side. His bed was covered in clothes that had slowly accumulated over the past several days. He slowly opened his eyes, letting out a sigh. This was the day that he had been dreading. His eyes glanced over at the nightstand, looking onto the coin necklace he had made, surrounded by grossly used tissues and paper towels. He groaned, pulling himself into a sitting position on his bed. He shook his head, rubbing the exhaustion from his eyes. He swung one leg over the bed, stepping onto a plastic bag. He kicked it aside and stood to his feet. He forced himself into the next room. If it were any other day, he easily would have just stayed in bed. He took a box of Yum-Yo cereal, shaking the box to find it empty. He knew it was empty. It had been emptied for about 2 days now. But so had three other boxes of cereal on the countertop. The question was, which one still had some of those Yum-Yos left? He found it on a second try and poured himself some cereal into the bowl that he had used yesterday. No more milk. Dry cereal it is, he sighed, sitting down and looked through some of the documents that had been sitting on the table for a few days now. He took a bite with a loud crunch. Whiskers, the cat, jumped into the table. Normally, this would be a huge no-no, but as of late, it just didn't seem as important. It's okay, Kevin, Whisper said, making direct eye contact. I know it's been rough, but you'll get through this. Kevin dropped his spoon. But you're going to need some help, Whiskers continued, and cleared his throat. There was a tap at the window, with two cats, a dog, and a snake looking through eagerly. Lucky for you, I brought some, he said with a soft grunt. And that is our prompt.
Okay, well, I'm curious, like, what's the guy, what this is a big
what's
day.
What's he going through?
This is a big day. What is he doing?
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be something going on. He is not handling himself very well. Obviously, yeah. He's let things kind of go. Something is seriously bothering him.
Yeah, like you described a disgusting mess.
Do you know what? Sometimes it just happens.
Sounds like my basement. No, I'm just kidding.
It's not the one that you're in right now?
No, it's not that disgusting. But, you know, kids love to make messes.
Kids love to make messes. It sounds like Kevin lives by himself, though.
Yep.
Besides Whiskers, his good and faithful companion.
Faithful cat.
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, is a bass. Sounds like you can really, really dig those low notes. So
what's Kevin going through? And I just love this image of this whole, like, group of house pets that are going to be like, we're going to fix your life.
Yeah.
We need an intervention, Kevin. Let's talk about this.
So I could see, okay, this is a big event, right? So I could see it going a couple of different ways. I mean, like, maybe this is really positive and, like, he finally got a date after, you know, maybe years, and he's, like, dreading it. Like, he's, like, gone into
anxiety. It's literally made him sick to his stomach.
Yeah, and so he can't, he can't go out. Uh-huh. Or, I mean, this could be a really sad day. Like, okay, now he's going to court because maybe he was married at some point. Mm. And this is the day where he actually, you know, like, finishes signing all the paper and is done with it or something like that. Or maybe he had kids and they're fighting over custody for the kids. And that's why he's a mess. Or maybe he, I don't know. I was thinking maybe he committed a crime and this is his court date. And the crime was, like, he was speeding like 5 miles over or something like that. Something trivial, but not trivial, but.
No. I hear exactly what you're saying. Something that like he's going to get through it. And of course, that's different in every state. You know, if he did get himself wind up in a crime, that could be kind of an interesting story with your your pet trying to help you through.
Okay, maybe, I mean, he was sad or something. Maybe he was lonely and he went to the bar. Right. And he's sitting at the bar and maybe a scuff got out. Right. A couple of guys, you know, were and he accidentally got caught in it. Mm-hmm. Like, and maybe so like this is his first day in court. They think he was a perpetrator, but really he just kind of got knocked off his bar stool or something like that. I don't know. Like, but that doesn't seem
right.
Could
it be like a really funny thing where like maybe he literally just slipped, but it threw his hand into somebody else?
Right.
And that like knocked him out. Started a fight or.
Right. But then why would all the pets be really excited to help him out? Like help him get through this day. So maybe this is much more positive and maybe this is his first day of work. Cause he lost his job.
Yeah.
And so he's been like, you know, a week out of work or maybe a month out of work and
maybe a year out of work.
Maybe a year.
That's something that's becoming more and more relatable.
Yeah,
definitely. Being out of work for a long time.
And, you know, the tissues all over the place. You know, he's really kind of just sunken in. And he finally got a job interview. And he's like, you know, he's dreading it partially because he just hasn't been out in a while. Or whatnot.
I think that I like this idea of, you know, it could be a lot worse than it is.
Yeah.
And this is a step in the right direction. But I feel like there has to be some type of loss behind that type of state. I feel like there must be some type of emotional trauma that is happening more than just...
He lost his job.
Yeah. And I think lost job can definitely be coupled onto it. I think that could be a really cute thing for us to introduce a character into. Maybe he quit his last job instead of losing his last job because of something that happened in his life. It feels like there was a fundamental change that happened with our character.
Right.
And now he is either situationally or by himself forcing himself back into confronting reality. I like the idea of this job interview. Mm-hmm. I think that he got himself far enough to get the interview, but now has to confront the fact that he has the interview and he has to go and actually deal with it. Maybe human interaction is something that's always been difficult for him.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think with some industries, there tends to be a lot of interesting personality quirks that go along with them. Mm. And I find that this is totally stereotypical, but sometimes the more technical the job is, the harder it is to communicate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
we've
so,
actually spoken about that at work quite a few times because I work in the beauty industry and I work on the marketing and documenting side of things. So I do a lot with like filming, recording, creating narratives out of stories and presenting those. But my job is communication. My job is to take other people's work and other people's words and present them and making it very interactive. But even though I work in the beauty industry, I work a lot with engineers, believe it or not. And the communication is definitely different. And they talk a lot about different engineering jobs being accompanied with different personalities.
It's just interesting just to see how someone in an engineering job or firm or whatnot may have, you know, social anxiety because they're used to working by themselves. They're used to being more independent. Whereas someone in a more communication style job like you have is way more energetic and excited to be around people.
Which in itself is exhausting. I'm going to tell you that right now.
And I think this character, what did you say his name was?
This is Kevin that we're talking about. Yeah.
Kevin. I feel like Kevin has that anxiety. He's got this fear of big things or he's got a fear of something. Why emotionally is he dreading what he's facing?
Yeah.
And what are the cat's friends? What are Whisker's friends going to do too? Because there was a couple of them.
There's a couple of them.
A snake.
I just like when I was finishing up that scene, I just got a chuckle out of the idea that there are these pets in the window just like, tapping on that one. Is like, we're here to help.
Right.
We got this, Kevin.
And we're here to help. No.
Whisker's really good at interventions.
Dude, he's the mastermind.
If I didn't have Olaf, I would definitely want Whiskers on my side. Okay, so these are the questions that I have.
Okay.
Question one, how is Whiskers and in an extension Whiskers Friends going to help? I think that it's important for us to know. Question two, what is Kevin facing? And likewise, why emotionally is Kevin dreading what is happening? And then the final question is, how does Kevin overcome this obstacle? And what does that mean for his relationship with Whiskers? Whiskers, I think off the bat, sounds like a really wise older cat, which I think in itself could be really cute, especially if he's recently adopted by Kevin, that, you know, Kevin went out and just found an older cat who just needed a good home.
He was looking for someone who was calm because he needed calmness in his life. Oh. And so when he saw Whiskers, I imagine Whisker has like a gray coat with black kind of accents.
Oh, cute.
And yeah. And so like I see
kind of like a little panda pattern.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe not so so stark because a panda is more white and black, but he's kind of more of gray and black. So he's a very kind of noble looking cat, I think.
Sure.
And what I see, like the picture I got was that he jumped up onto the table and he's like looking at Kevin and he's like, I know what you're going through, right? I've actually looked through your phone several times and saw that you had this appointment coming up. And so I've arranged some help. And so I see that Kevin's newfound friends in these animals are going to help him get ready for the day. And I know that's so cliche, like that's totally fairy tale. Mm-hmm. Right, where the animals help him, but like he's a mess, and so
he needs some extra help.
He needs hair trimming. He needs his face cleaned up because he's let his beard grow. He needs a bath or a shower or Clorox, just to help get rid of living in the same environment for weeks. Mm-hmm. So I imagine these characters.
Oh, they are.
I imagine these critters, these animals, are there to kind of help coach him and guide him. Like, I don't know how much they're going to actually help him get ready for the day in terms of, like, actually washing his hair or shaving him. I mean, that would be very fanciful and possible. I mean, like, if you're going, like, a reading story, like, yeah, that could totally happen. In real life, that would be a hard play. But I don't know. Like, I guess I'm kind of like wondering what they're going to do. Maybe they actually did some recon and like they went out into the world and like they're like, okay, you've got this event coming up, whatever the event is. And like we've done some research and we found that the guy you're going to meet loves coffee, you know, like a particular like Frappuccino or something like that, a Starbucks.
I've already ordered the coffee for you, Kevin. Yeah. It's good to go. You're just going to go down 7th on 8th and you're going to turn right. There's a coffee shop right there.
Right there.
It's waiting for you. It says, Kevin, pick it up and take it to your meeting. It's exactly what you need to get off on the right foot.
Right. And then on the way, stop by the bookstore because I've also placed another order there because apparently he likes Calvin and Hobbes. So I've went ahead and ordered the one set that he doesn't have yet and it's waiting for you to go pick it up. So I see
and
these
don't
characters.
Worry, I have 1,300 gift ideas all ready to go. I know every single thing that he owns. Like we got this.
Yeah, and it's funny because we've answered this question first before we've answered, I think, the more important question, which is number two, like what is he going to do? I think for the fun of it, I see these cats and animals. How many animals are there again?
I think there's 5 in total. There were 4 at the window and Whiskers.
Okay.
So I decided that the dog's name is Berkeley. I think Berkeley is a really great
dog's
name.
Berkeley. Dude, this could be like the Adventures of Whiskers and Berkeley. I see them being like way more like they're like personal butler and like not chauffeur, but like they're like your administrative assistant who like totally helps you coach and does like a lot of the heavy lifting for you so that it kind of streamlines your process of getting to what you need to actually do.
Whiskers could be like, oh, don't worry about Berkeley. He's good at playing fetch. And you see Berkeley just like running back and forth, picking up all the garbage, like dropping it off at the trash can, getting all the other rubble and whatever.
Right. And the snake's job is to go find all the garbage, like in the random nooks for the dog to go fetch. Because he's got amazing, you know, sensory smell and such. I guess the dog does too. But you know, within a matter of a few minutes, the house is clean and he's like ready to actually go do something. And he's actually starting to feel better from this energy that's being developed. Now, I think that brings us to, what is he going to do? Like, what is the big thing that he's afraid of, or that he's got ahead of him?
Yeah. I do like what you were kind of saying before. If we were to talk about anxiety, and if we were to talk about social situations, then dealing with those, the difficulty that can be had sometimes when facing certain situations, I kind of want to say that maybe he did lose his loved one in some type of accident and ended up having to take work off and hasn't worked since, and now feels that if he doesn't go back into something, he's not going to make it. I feel like he's lost for some reason. It obviously sounds like he's still processing something that's happened.
His grief. He's got some major grief event. I think if you take it from a situation where he's lost a loved one, like, you know, a spouse or a girlfriend that he was very serious with, or, you know, boyfriend, it doesn't matter. Like, he has a significant other that he cared deeply about. And that's what got him into this depression spiral. And he took time off. And his employer was very patient with him as they were trying to get, but they had to move on at some point. So now he finds himself in this position where he's now doubly, like, squashed. And I think that's where the animal friends really come in, is that maybe he's got this second chance at his old job. So let's help you. And maybe, you know, maybe one of the animals is kind of like very psychiatry. Like, you know, so like he's read up on a few things, like on how to help overcome depression by just talking and listening to Kevin and what he's going through. It's so that, you know, Kevin starts to feel better as he releases some of this, this emotional baggage that he's been carrying for the last couple months or days or weeks, or not days. I mean, it's got to be months. I think this is a long event.
And it easily could be like, if we're talking maybe the snake character, who's just like, hey, I'm here to listen. Like, let's talk through this. And maybe like the snake can be like, I'm not a professional, and this is something that I would love to continue to help you with, but I did make you an appointment that you can go in and get some help and actually process and work through things. But we're here for you, my friends. I can't do the snake thing. I'm going to stop.
No, you're fine. But okay. So he knows this thing has been coming. But what if Whiskers actually got the whole thing in motion, or something like that, or he started sending his resume out, or whatever? We actually still haven't decided what the event is that he's stuck on.
No, we haven't officially.
I think as he's trying to process the loss of his loved one, that he ends up realizing it's going to take a lot longer to recover from that loss. And so he ends up resigning. He ends up leaving his job. There wasn't any hard feelings on either side. So that at least was good. But now he's out of work and he doesn't have his loved ones. And Whiskers realizes that he's in this death spiral, and that if he doesn't act soon, he's going to get more and more depressed. And so he ends up actually kicking off an email to or something like that. I don't know. Whiskers is technical and smart and can talk, apparently. And so he ends up getting in contact with maybe his old employer, because it's been a couple months. And that actually sets into motion some of these things. And today's the big day, and he needs to go in and actually get started in the process of working for this company again. And little did Kevin know, Whiskers ordered dry cleaning for his suit. So his suit's actually ready to be put back into service, and Kevin just needs to go get it. So like there's been a lot of work that
Whiskers has put into this.
I mean, like, it's been probably a few weeks now.
Yeah. And that he's been planning.
Right. And so he ended up contacting his four other friends to kind of help out, because this was the last day. This is the day that he needs to go in for this interview to see. And as an administrative assistant, you know, like, Whiskers has been handling all of the phone calls and emails. Kevin didn't know. He just kind of like didn't realize that he had accepted this interview appointment. It just showed up in his calendar. That's kind of what I see maybe going on here.
No, it's cute. I like it. I think for Whiskers, I just think the quips that you can have back and forth between him and Kevin. The final question for us to go through is, how does Kevin overcome this obstacle? And we decided that the obstacle is him going back for an interview. Are we still in that direction?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, though. I think the other obstacle is depression. And I think him realizing
loss,
that... Loss. Mm-hmm. Loss, depression.
Grief.
And I think that's really where the animal companions come in. It's not that they're helping him get his act together to get to this job interview. I feel like the animals are there to actually be friends for him and help him get through this depressing and anxiety that he has in coming back into society. So the animals are kind of there providing two services, both to help him get out of his depression and to help him get to this new opportunity that he has to kind of pick himself up from the rut he's fallen into.
Okay, it could be cute though if the animals, like, they can see, like, Kevin, we're just chats. You're doing great, buddy, but we think that it's time that you got some good friends. So my owner, Jim, he's down the street. You should totally make friends with my owner or something like that. But like helping him maybe build community with some of his neighbors or something like that could be really cute.
Okay, so I had a thought. What if this is like he's been living in a slog, right? You know, kind of days are blending together. What if some of this is actually dreams, right? And he can't differentiate between what is reality and what is a dream.
Well, that's a bigger problem all of a sudden.
It is. But these animal creatures that are helping him through it, he doesn't realize he's doing all the work. These animals are there. He does have Whiskers. Whiskers is his friend, who's a real cat in real life. But Whiskers doesn't actually do anything. I don't know. Like, the thought just kind of occurred to me, like, what if
he's anthropomorphizing these animals that are in his life.
Right. And that actually is kind of how he uses it as a coping strategy to kind of get over this. I don't know. That just sounds, never mind. This is a hard one.
Yeah, this one's a little bit more tough. And I think the reason why this one's a little bit more tough is that even though there is a fantasy element with the idea of talking animals, it's very much grounded in real life stories and situations that we could ourselves go through. Because a lot of times we can easily turn to magic. We can turn to some type of sci-fi key to propel a story forward. But how do you tell a story about real life?
You know, I recently went through a job change and I felt like I lost something when that event was going on. Like, I was depressed. I really didn't want to do anything. I had a hard time getting up and actually just moving on with my life. And, you know, bless my wife. She was very patient and very encouraging. But it was rough. And I empathize with Kevin. Like, losing a loved one or losing a job or any other traumatic or social event that doesn't go the way you expect it to go is rough and it's hard to get through. And, you know, when, as you were describing the scene, I kind of was trying to place myself in that scene, like, wow, I think I was there. And I think that as you bring in these animal characters, like, I was seeing that in my own kids and how they were seeing what I was going through and responding to it. And trying to help comfort me through all of that. Now, I mean, they couldn't schedule my interviews as I was trying to find my next work.
Wouldn't that be nice?
but
hey,
you know,
Daddy, you have an interview on Tuesday at 3.
I got your tea ready for you. You're good to go. Don't worry about it. Breakfast is on the table. Just eat it. Get down to your Zoom meeting so that you can do well. You know. So there's a lot of realism here as you talk about a character who's going through depression or going through a traumatic event that they're still trying to cope with. Yet
sudden
they
change.
need to survive. You know, like, it gets to a point where you can't. I don't know. I've not been there. Like, I've not been to rock bottom. And so
to that particular depth.
I'm actually having a really hard time imagining what rock bottom is for this particular character, because I think he's there. Yeah. I think he hit it.
And I don't think that Whiskers would normally come out and do this, because Whiskers hasn't done this to this extent. And so I definitely feel, like you said, like, this is the rock bottom of rock bottoms for Whiskers to be like, okay, I've rallied the troops. Let's get through this.
Kevin's totally slipping backwards and he's falling into the pit of despair. Mm-hmm. And Whiskers is there to kind of give him that help needed to pull him out. And that's kind of the silver lining here, that Kevin gets the help he needs, but it doesn't come where you expect it to come.
No. And I do like this underlining tone. I think that we need that helping hand. And, you know, as you've seen it in your own experiences and going through that process of sudden life change, when people reach out and give that sudden help that you're not expecting, it literally makes all the difference. And I think that this is an opportunity to kind of show what that looks like in a fun and playful way. And helping our character figure out what he can do to now start making those changes for himself and doing it in a way that doesn't feel patronizing. Because I think that the last thing that I'd want to do is tell a story where it becomes patronizing to other people who have been through a similar situation. I feel like this could be a much more fun story, but also it could be a little bit of a difficult story in that I see our character, Kevin, through the act of getting his life back together, finally having to accept and process the traumatic experience that he has been through. We mentioned like loss of a loved one, but it could also be dealing with something like PTSD from some type of military experience or other type of experience, some type of tragic accident.
You can get PTSDs from like almost anything that your body registers as traumatic. And I could totally see, I feel like maybe that's really what happened to Fred, is that he had some kind of traumatic experience, a car crash that he survived. Maybe he was the only one that survived. And so he's trying to pick his life back together from that. And he's struggling. And that's where the friends and the animals really help pull him out of that pit that he's found himself in.
Okay. Going off of the car accident, say he's the only person that survived.
Okay.
Tragic. Yeah. Absolutely horrific thing to go through. Mm-hmm. What if he's not been able to get back into a car and that's what he's overcoming? Like, there's a lot for him to go through and a lot for him to process and learn. But what if like that first big step is you can get in that car again? And if the way that he has to do that, instead of it being a job interview, what if Whiskers has his annual checkup at the vet? And Whiskers is like, you got to take me to the doctor, dude. Like, I have to go to the doctor.
You know, though, but I see Whiskers, like, he's brought back up to help. And, like, Whiskers is like, we're in this together. And, you know, I don't like going to the vet, but I gotta go. But, you know.
And you gotta take me, my dude. Like,
you know, but I see Whiskers, like, hopping up into the front seat and, like, sitting, like, as a proper cat sitting in the front seat. Mm-hmm. And maybe Kevin's like so nervous he straps the cat in with the seatbelt.
Whiskers, you always hated it when I took you to the vet, but I just got to go.
Right,
it's time.
But honestly, but that's the way I think. Maybe that's the way Whiskers is trying to help Kevin. Is like Whiskers scheduled his own vet checkup.
You can do it online now. It makes it super easy
to give Kevin an excuse to actually take the car out and go. Mm-hmm. And so,
unfortunately, it's just down the street. It's 3 blocks away.
Yeah,
like it's not far.
You know, I know you got all your groceries delivered, but this is the one thing I need to go to the vet for. Right, whatever it might be. Maybe it's his nails need to be trimmed or something. something meaningful, not super critical or important.
I need my manicure, Kevin. Take
grooming.
Me.
But I like that. I like it not being so traumatic. I just have a hard time like talking about depression and like pulling yourself up, because it's not something I have a lot of experience with. Mm. I think that's why, you know, sometimes talking about these and like getting some story ideas going is kind of really useful, because like you might need to write that for your character. Yeah. Your character might be going through this, and sometimes you kind of have to find someone who's gone through it to kind of help you understand, or maybe, I don't know. Experience is the easiest things to write about, because you experienced it. You can picture it. You could see it.
You know what they say. They say write what you know. I think that it's really important for us to go out and learn.
And maybe that's just because this is a somber subject.
Mm-hmm.
And we've not done very many somber, if any. How many somber subjects have we done?
We had one episode that we did, which was pretty much a walk through memory lane. It was our pilgrimage episode.
Oh, wasn't that the one that you recommended?
We recommended it, I think, last week. It was the episode about an older gentleman who had to retrace his younger life. And that one is the most normal, non-fantasy sci-fi story we've done. Except for last week. I thought last week was another great non-fantasy story.
It was.
I kind of like these slower paced stories just because they are relatable, even though there are elements of this that are not relatable, such as a talking cat. But I really feel that this is something that's important to be told because a lot of people do go through this, and I've had very similar experiences to this. So yeah. I like the idea of keeping the story simple in that Whiskers is literally walking him through baby steps of mm-hmm. you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You're not alone in this. Mm-hmm. There is help out there for you. And I think that that could be a very cute start to a story and can continue to develop.
You know, as you were talking about that and Whiskers was trying to encourage Kevin to take him out to the vet on a drive, what if this isn't the first time he's actually talked to Kevin and he's actually gotten Kevin to take him for a walk, right? He managed to scrounge up a piece of rope and like somehow attached it to his collar. And he's like, Kevin, you need to get out. Mm-hmm. And so he like throws the other end. He fishes the other end into Kevin's hand. And he's like, come on, let's go for a walk. Let's get out. And so this is just the next step. You know, mm-hmm. Whiskers is encouraging Kevin to get up and get mm-hmm. out.
I think that's really cute. It could be even cute if Whiskers actually doesn't say anything at all and just leaves clues everywhere for Kevin to figure out. Yeah. I could go both ways. I think talking Whiskers is hilarious, but I also think that completely silent, like just a dog coming into your house and cleaning your house for you.
Right, right. No, I definitely like the aspect of Whiskers talking to Kevin, but mm-hmm. maybe he actually got Kevin to take him on a walk without actually saying anything. Like mm-hmm. he found a leash like in a box and mm-hmm. he like cute put it in Kevin's vest. Hand and then he just stays by the front door until Kevin's mm-hmm. like, I'm fine. You know, like whatever, let's do this. If that's going to make you happy, cat. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the start. Like this is actually like they've done that a few times now. I want to see those little interactions yeah. that the cat's
doing. This is
doing.
Definitely the story about little interactions.
Right. And I think I'd love to see it start with like the cat wanting to go for a walk. Mm-hmm. And then this is the next big thing.
I think that it answers the questions that we were hoping for, at least for now. It's not a full complete story, but it's definitely the start of a story. Oh, yeah. And I think this could be a really cute tale.
At least it has one.
It has five, it has actually. Five
Wait. We got a snake, a dog, a cat. What were the other two animals?
There are two more cats. So three cats in total. Okay, hopefully Kevin's not allergic, because that would be tragic.
Could be a concern, but achoo. No, hopefully not. We could probably leave that complication out of this story.
For this one. I think we're going to leave it there. But there are so many great animal companion stories that are out there. I love, mm-hmm. like I said before, a great animal companion story. And we'd love to know, have you guys in your stories used animal companions in helping move your character forward? We would love to see what you guys think about animal companions, and if you've used them, please let us know. You can follow us on Twitter at CreatorsPBPod. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Creators Playbook. Do you have anything else for our audience, Michael?
Just that I'd love to see what you guys create.
It's our favorite thing about doing this entire show. You guys are amazing, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Creators Playbook is a Talea Studios production. If you'd like to contact us, you can email us at contact@creatorsplaybook.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We cannot wait to see what you make.